Hi, this is comedian Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
And today we have comedian, former Army captain, and cool as hell last name, comedian Leslie Battle. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Your default setting is rambling?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let's do it.
That's me. That's where I'm at.
That's this podcast in a nutshell. So.
That's all it is anyway. Yeah, we might as well.
You know, that's typically how life with Leslie is. I mean, we start off talking about, you know, astrophysics, and then it's my favorite flavor of Skittles. Did you see my post about that Skittles commercial?
No.
That's where I'm at. So, you know the Skittles commercial where the dude is all covered with Skittles and the girl is like, what's wrong? And he's covered with Skittles. And my doctor says, I have Skittles pox, and she picks one off and eats it. Okay, first of all, let's assume that you could just sprout candy. That is literally the least disgusting version of this commercial. Because anybody who knows anything about medicines know that pox are like pus-filled things. So why on earth would your reflex be to pick one off? And again,
it creeps me out.
It's stuck to his skin. So how do Skittles get stuck to skin? Sweat. So you just ate a sweaty Skittle.
It's not like a Skittle scab.
Duh. There's so much wrong with that whole thing. And I'm just like, I don't know if they're just trying to like market to people that are already high on acid. I don't know. I've heard that's out of vogue. So
acid, I feel like, is coming back amongst hipsters and because I know like the music scene, especially like weed is like prevalent. Weed's legal here, and weed's pretty just no one cares about it anymore. So I just think there's that sort of demographic that's like, yeah, I mean, I can smoke weed anytime. So like they'll go to a concert now and like drop acid or, you know, and like, we went to the desert over the Labor Day weekend, and my boyfriend was like, you should drop some acid while we're in the desert. And I was like, I have never done acid, but I can tell you that the one time in Amsterdam that I got so high, I was high for 2 days, I was losing my goddamn mind. So, like, the last possible thing I need is LSD. Like, I would actually, like, freak out. He would have to call, like, an ambulance. I would be like, I'm dying. I'm the first person to ever die from LSD.
So your trip actually turned into a psychedelic vacation.
Yes.
Like, you were like camped out. Oh man,
that's the kind
See,
of shit
stories like that make me go, yeah, I'm cool.
I'm fine. I'll have a beer, thanks.
Right.
As you well know, like those are the kind of things though. Like I end up trying to write like the best, you know, sets about is just how like we were freaking out in Amsterdam, and like he was so high he started crying, and I thought he was crying because he was watching me die, and so I was like, oh my god, am I dying? Like it was just so stupid.
You thought he was crying.
I actually had my first experience with an edible back over the summer. 48 years old, had my first edible. Did it all wrong because I was that big of a nerd like all my life that I don't know like the things that everybody knows. And so this guy offers me a half of a cookie and I'm just like, okay, so I eat the whole half of the cookie.
Oh no.
Yeah. And this is my first time ever, right?
Like,
so not only
like
is it a half of
cookie?
A cookie. Yeah, it was, you know, like you would buy in a coffee shop, you know, small, you know, regular size like grandma would make for Christmas, right? And so I'm just uncomfortably dizzy. I managed to get home before it really kicked in, but I'm just uncomfortably dizzy to the point that in my mind, I'm trying to convince myself to stop breathing so that my eardrums won't be. Yeah. And so my common sense angel was like, bitch, you got to breathe. I don't know why. What? We not that high. Okay. It's not. Don't stop it. Just stop it. Then the best part of the story comes. I'm with my kids, right? We go out to dinner. And so I'm still trying to be cool, mom, because one of them is going to pick my nursing home. So I'm telling them about how I tried weed. And they're just like, what? You know, because I'd never done it. And I was like, no, I messed it up. I think I OD'd. They're like, mom, you can't OD on weed. And I'm just like, well, it was an edible. And in unison, they both go, oh.
You're like, why do you know? What do you mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just like, how am I the last person in the car to really? And then, you know, what my daughter tells me, she goes, well, mom and dare, they taught us everything but how to hit a bomb. What? So evidently dare is like the exact opposite for some kids. Like some kids go to it like, ooh, man, I'll never do that. Some kids go to it like, that doesn't sound so bad.
I am actually surprised that dare is still a thing for that reason, because I feel like at least when we had it as kids, they were very much, and it was the 80s, so it was very much just like, you know, that sort of reefer madness mentality where like marijuana is a gateway drug and all that kind of stuff. And we were ultimately just like, oh, dude, we are going to go smoke so much weed like the second we can find it.
Well, but leave it to Ohio to mess up legalizing it, right? So a friend of mine, because I have a lot of friends that are, you know, supporters of legalizing. I personally legalize it. It's funny because going through what I went through with my divorce, I learned real quick how not to judge other people because when you're going through some stuff that you think it would never, ever happen to you, then you're just like, ah, oh, damn, you know, so-and-so, I was thinking that, but this sucks. This is not at all. And the more that I, you know, learned about how it's literally like the least toxic thing out there, it's just kind of like, you know, big pharma has us fooled into thinking that all these chemical concoctions that freaking shoot your internal organs are solving things. I mean, you know, most people, you get one thing and it cures those symptoms. It really doesn't treat the disease, but it cures the symptoms, but it causes other symptoms. So you have to take another thing to deal with those symptoms. And you end up with this whole like cocktail of stuff, which you can't convince me that the FDA has tested every possible combination of meth. There's no freaking way.
Yeah. It's okay. And what's funny is like, I mean, now more than ever. So like, first of all, anyone who's ever smoked weed, especially out here when you can go to a dispensary and buy the actual plant right off, like they have the plants in the pot and you can buy like the plants where you can just grow the bud yourself. You're literally pulling the bud off the plant, letting it dry out and then stuffing it into a pipe. Like there's no chemicals. There's no middleman. There's no bullshit. You're just straight up smoking a plant. And then on top of that, we have the entire American lifespan has lowered in the last year, 5 years, because everyone is dying from a synthetic drug, fentanyl. And it's just, at this point, it's beyond, like, I was never the kind of, like, it used to sound really hippie and conspiracy-y to me when people were all like, big pharma, man. I'm like, yeah, but cancer drugs save lives and blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, you see this sort of very extremely obvious disparity between, like, people who still stigmatize smoking a plant but think it's completely acceptable that all these people are dying from, like, a manufactured drug that's completely legal.
And that's the thing. Nobody wants to ask questions. Nobody wants to ask questions because, and I want to get back to the Ohio messing it up thing, but because, you know, even though I live here, so, but like my mom passed away four and a half years ago. And my mom had significant psychiatric issues. She was medicated in and out of inpatient like my entire childhood. That was my childhood. And on my mom's side of the family, she still has two aunts that are alive. They're in their 90s, like late 90s, right? Like on my grandma's side of the family, everybody was in their 90s or further, right? Like my grandmother had an aunt who babysat me.
Wow.
Okay.
Grandma had an aunt that was...
Right. She was like 100 and something before she passed. Right. So my mom was like at her end of life and my aunt was taking care of the medical decisions and all this kind of stuff. And there were some issues that were going on with my mom. And one of them, like my aunt was like, yeah, they're trying to decide if it's her cholesterol med. I'm just like, cholesterol med? She's been on a controlled diet for a decade. How is that a thing.
Right.
If she's lived in nursing facilities for a decade, how is a cholesterol thing necessarily, unless something else is messing up her system so that it's not processing cholesterol properly? And I mean, it's just stuff like that. It's just like people don't ask questions. You know, doctor says, here, take this pill, let me cut you open, let's do this thing. And people are just like, oh yeah, it's gonna suck, but I'll get better. And then they don't. And it's just kind of like, you know, if we would really focus, and I honestly believe, I mean, heaven knows I've put garbage in my body, so I'm kind of a hypocrite on this
one.
But I mean, I went through a phase where I was just eating like raw spinach and like not cooking stuff. And I was doing like more salads and, you know, trying to cut down on my meats. And I felt so much better. Now, if I could throw in some exercise, y'all would not know a bitch, okay? If I got fit, y'all would be like, damn, Leslie is just out there trying to be, you know, a gilf and shit. What is going on? But I know that, you know, there's just so much stuff that we put in our bodies on a regular basis that's kind of contributing to this whole, like, holistic. And so then when people start feeling sick because they've been eating Big Macs for 30 days straight, and a doctor says, instead of saying, hey, eat some spinach, he says, here, take this pill.
Well, like, or they're supposed to be doing both, but they're like, no, the pill will fix it, and I don't have to change.
Well, the pill pays them.
Yeah.
I mean, pharmaceuticals give them perks. And, I mean, let's be realistic. We live in a capitalistic society. People love the love of money. It's not just loving money. It's loving the love of money. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at who's president right now, I think that is the most stark, you know, because here's the thing. Here's my conspiracy thing. If the system, yeah, I'm going to sound a little crazy for a second, but if the system didn't want him to be president, guess what? He wouldn't be president.
No, you're, it's not even a conspiracy. The thing that drives me crazy is if you literally know, like, even kindergarten level history, you know there's an electoral college, and the electoral college was specifically designed to keep people like him out for when people elect morons to office. That's what the electoral college was designed to do. And the very fact that, like, it didn't do the one thing it was designed to do goes to show you, like, people are, at minimum, at the most innocent level, okay with the status quo. Like, no matter how bad.
Oh, well, not only that, but I mean, look at his staunch supporters right now. And I'll admit, I haven't cut them all off, and I feel guilty because there's this one couple specifically, and he is just absolutely anything conservative, and so he's on the bandwagon. And I'm just kind of like, but that's not who you are in real life. You are not a person who models those behaviors in real life. So how is it that you can look at this dude and be like, except for the fact that you hear all this garbage about liberals and you don't want other people to live differently than you, which, okay, that's where, you know, the thing comes. But it's just like, no matter what he does, no matter what he says, they're right there making excuses. No matter what racist thing comes up, no matter what rape case comes up, they're there making excuses and saying, this is the way it's supposed to be. And I can't believe that you're victimizing this person who victimized somebody. And it's just kind of like, I can't reconcile myself with the thought that you would feel this way if these things were happening to somebody that you cared about.
Exactly.
And it seems like a lot of people get that kind of just party blindness, you know, it's like, oh no, like this is the political party that I'm behind. So anything they do, like I'll defend it or whatever. Cause they're like, no, I picked my team. And instead of becoming more moderate with things that make sense to me, I'm just gonna keep chugging along.
But that is absolutely what's happened. It's like, instead of saying, you know what, this doesn't make sense, it's I've got to dig in because I committed to this and I'm going to see it through. And I mean, it's like being in an abusive marriage, you know, it's like, well, you know, it's going to get better and it's going to be all worth it. And people don't see it.
Oh, they didn't mean
it. No, we don't see it now because it's consistently not worth it. We need you to, you know, and that's the thing is that the biggest thing about all of this is what exactly are conservatives conserving? Because if you look at the name, what are you telling me you're conserving? Because it's not progress for women not to have equal pay. It's not progress for women not to be able to say what they want to do with their bodies. It's sure as hell not progress for a man to take a woman's body and not have any repercussions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about race stuff. Do not get me started about race stuff.
Yeah.
it boggled my mind, you know, all these people were so against Kaepernick and all this kind of stuff. And they were like, well, Leslie, you've never been through this. It's like, no, I've never told you because I knew you wouldn't listen.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's funny. My aunt and uncle, we were talking earlier about Yellow Springs and how they live there. And the thing is, it's my aunt that grew up on my mom's side. And my mom's side, my grandmother was half Irish, half Italian. And so they were very Catholic. I will say, my grandma grew up in Boston, so she had this very, like, it was almost kind of split personality, where because it's Boston, it was much more democratic and liberal, but because it was also Catholic, it had a lot of weird conservative stuff, too.
Don't let Boston fool you. Bostonians are racist.
I've heard nothing. I just hear that all the time.
Yeah, that I knew. They were basically, like, metropolitan or like urban hicks. Like, they've got a horrible accent, they dress terribly, they're horribly racist. Her thing was, you could see like the internal struggle of, like, she really wanted to be progressive, but like the way she was brought up, because her parents were literally off the boat from Italy and from Ireland. And then my aunt, who was the youngest, was just like, fuck all of this, fuck organized religion, fuck, like, you know, being racist, fuck being closed-minded, and that's why she moved to Yellow Springs, because it's like, you know, it's literally the Woodstock of Ohio, for anybody who's listening to this and doesn't know where Yellow Springs are.
I didn't know. I'm from Ohio. I don't know.
It's like Woodstock 24/7, but like in a very small town north of Dayton. Dave Chappelle lives there. Like, it's just, it's this very...
Oh, yeah, look it up.
Yeah, it's amazing. A very interesting little area. But yeah, so like, I think her knee-jerk reaction was to kind of, you know, say, I don't want to leave Ohio necessarily. That was my thing. That was actually, a lot of people don't know this, but a very small but substantial percentage of the reason I moved to California is because I was getting so frustrated with the priorities, at least in Cleveland anyway, of like no one really seeming to take seriously the infrastructure or the opioid crisis, or everyone just cared about the fucking Browns. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, no one cares about anything that matters here. And like, I wouldn't say that like people care about what matters here, but at least I don't have to hear about fucking sports all the time. Like, I'm so sick of that shit.
Look, you're preaching to the choir, my sister, because every time I go anywhere, it doesn't matter. I could be in Florida, I could be in Arkansas, there's always somebody from Ohio, and they hear that I live in Ohio and they yell out OH, and I yell back, I fucking hate sports, let's move on. The only thing I like about sports is big dudes in tight pants. Do not give a fuck.
I like sports, but I've always been the person like in between, because I was like a fine art major and stuff. So like, I'm in my art classes sometimes, and the professors are like, blah, 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 funding for the sports. And I'm like, I like both. I was like the only one in the middle. I'm like, I enjoy both things.
I can watch sports from the social aspect. Like, I can get together.
That's what I like, yeah.
But I don't, like, follow teams and know stats. And the thing that really got me, I mean, there's so many things that get me, right? Mm-hmm. But when there was the whole issue with Kaepernick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody was looking at the fact that the national anthem has a very racist stanza. That if you look up the poem that Francis Scott Key wrote, in the third verse, he literally prays for the death of hirelings and slaves.
Oh wait, so this is the extended version, right? That nobody.
Well, but they just left that verse out, even though the powers that be that chose it for the anthem reached back 100 years to find this poem that he wrote. Ooh. Oh yeah, wow, Google that stuff.
I've never heard that.
Google it. It will blow your mind. And because I used to sing the national anthem for like military ceremonies. And when I read that, I was like, what in the holy hell have I been doing? Now, I'm not going to, you know, tell somebody else not to do it. But me and my conscience, I am a great, great granddaughter of slaves. My grandmother's grandparents were slaves. So anything is just like, hey, we know this is America, but if you brown, you know, it's not really for you. I take issue with. I mean, even if I wasn't, I mean, you know, there's just, it's been injustice after injustice after injustice after injustice, and we're constantly being told, well, turn the other cheek. Well, you know, a lot of us that have turned the other cheek have ended up dead. I mean, literally, not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like, when are people going to realize, again, if this was happening to somebody that you love, would you stand for it? Mm-hmm. Would you sit there and be like, you know what? It's just the price of doing business. We've got it so great here. I mean, I'm not saying that America is a horrible place, because we definitely have some advantages over other places, but we also definitely have some disadvantages.
I think that mentality of making, you're keeping it maintained though. Like if we just sit back and say we're the greatest and then don't do anything to maintain that, then that's when you sort of start to disintegrate. And that's the thing. Little things have been sort of like falling apart here and there between like the economy. I mean, even when Obama was in office, the economy, we went from the first time of being like a triple A rated, like credit something, like as far as like on the global scale of like, I forget what it's like when we have like the national debt or whatever, like we became a more risky, we went from like triple A to double A or something for the first time in the history since they started doing like debt configuration. And then like, I mean, just basically all these other countries are starting to own us on healthcare, and they're starting to own us on
They have.
Well, but here's the thing. And here's the thing that really frustrates me about quote unquote American culture, especially when we're talking with what's considered mainstream right now, is this didn't happen overnight. This even 45 becoming president, that didn't happen over 4 years. If you look at all of the significant changes that have happened basically since World War II, even though it's been, you know, even since before then, but all of these factors have kind of just developed into this like perfect storm of, we either need to get off the fence and start doing things differently, or we've already lost it. Because there's still the glamorization of the Civil War. There's still the glamorization of Christopher Columbus. There's still the oppression of the indigenous people. There's still, you know, and what kills me is like a conservative will come back with, well, you know, cops shoot white people too. Well, you know what? You should have gave somebody a head up then. Why do you not care about cops shooting white people? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's problematic. If people are dying needlessly, then it's problematic. Just like with Big Pharma. If we've got all of these studies that show after the fact that a drug wasn't safe to be administered in the first place, how did it get into the system? We supposedly have all of these checks and balances, but everybody knows that the checks and balances can disappear if somebody's palm gets greased right. Mm-hmm. You know?
I know you were going to mention how Ohio's messed up legalization. Did we talk about that yet?
By making it even more expensive to buy it legally. A friend of mine posted that it was like $500 for an ounce to get it at a dispensary. Yeah.
Wow, Jesus.
And I'm just kind of like, okay, first of all, you're going to make it legal and you're not going to do anything about all the people who've been arrested for having a quarter ounce in their pocket.
Yeah, which is bullshit. Ugh, God.
I'm sorry. I'm not here to make you guys.
No. That pisses me off like, so hard.
It's absolutely one of those things, don't piss down my leg and tell me it's raining. Because we have Google now. So, you know, it's a little bit harder to pull the wool over some of our eyes. But I mean, that's the thing. With the advancements in technology, what do? With the internet? We watch cat videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's wonderful. A friend of mine introduced me to this concept, and I'm absolutely sure that I have it because I know Jess has seen my timeline. And remember how I used to go on these political rants and I would just like own people and I would just be so proud of myself because I'd like try to get people to think of stuff. You notice there haven't been there many of those lately? Because I just can't. I just can't with people anymore. It's just like when you realize that nobody wants to actually change their mind. And it's not even about changing your mind. What frustrates me the most is the mind shift that a lot of liberals are asking. Of course, we have our fringe folks too. But the only mind shift that a lot of liberals are asking for is, can't you just respect another human being the way you want to be respected? That is literally what it is. But what a lot of conservatives hear is, can't you just make another person live the way you want to live? That's not at all what liberals are saying. But because conservatives, you know, often have their roots in religion, and religion is just like, you got to turn everybody into this religion. That's how you win. Which, oh, by the way, out of all of the billions of people that have died, nobody has brought proof that that's what's going to happen.
And all those religions, they don't pay any taxes here. All these churches and stuff.
Just saying.
I know that's a big problem with why gun control hasn't really become a thing, because no one wants to give an inch. Like, because one of the craziest things, I listen to all these fucking podcasts, but like they talk about how like there was a, I think there was a law, they were trying to pass a law in Alabama, or it was a southern state to be sure, about how this kid was, he brought a toy gun to school, someone called the police, I think it was a white kid, and when, I don't know, he like barricaded himself on the roof, whatever, and they ended up shooting and killing him because, all over this toy gun, because they thought he had a real gun and he was going to kill all these kids in the school at the end. So they were going to make a law that just said, by law, if you bring a toy gun to school, you'll get arrested, to try and deter kids from bringing toy guns to school and deter them from getting killed by cops because they think, you know, that they've got a real gun. And the Alabama State Senate would not pass it because it was implying that any form of gun was bad. And they did not want anything on the books to open the floodgates to show that guns, toy or otherwise, could be potentially bad. And it was flooring because even some of the most conservative people, they were interviewing huge Trump supporters, even to this day, were like, yeah, no, we should probably pass this so our kids don't get shot, so like, so that they'll think twice about it. And overall, they were like, no, we can't in any way let on that we think that guns could be potentially harmful or bad for society, so we're not passing this.
Well, I mean, and look at the statistics that don't get tracked. I mean, you know, it has taken individual, you know, independent organizations to be like, hey, why don't we look at these trends and see what's going on? Because even like the Department of Justice can only do so much when it comes to tracking that stuff. But the thing about gun control, and here's the thing that boggles my mind, that you would think that people who truly, truly, truly want their right to bear arms would look at. And as much as it gets taught, as much as it gets told, Second Amendment clearly states, as part of a well-trained militia, mm-hmm. you add training, you know, I mean, and then everybody's like, well, everybody's driving a car. Not everybody drives a car. You have to be trained. You have to be relicensed every year. You know, it's not just out there willy-nilly, but everybody wants to act like, well, you know, guns. Well, first of all, in my car, I mean, unless I rig the gas tank to blow up, and I mean, this is going to sound really, really morbid, but there's only so many people I can hurt in my car. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying because there's a lot of horrible things that happen in traffic accidents.
Oh, yeah.
But to have something that is portable, concealable, mm-hmm. and you don't know what the mindset of the carrier is, mm-hmm. How could that ever end well?
I love about the car argument is like, you talk about like, I think it's what, 30,000 people are killed a year by guns, I think was the statistic. And then the counter argument I would always hear was, well, 40,000 people a year are killed by car accidents was the counter argument. So I was like, okay, so you would rather, like, it's just such a weird argument because then you're just saying like, well, cars kill more people than guns. And I'm like, okay, so then 70,000 people a year are dying from cars and guns. You wouldn't rather just have fewer people die? Like, I don't know. It's such a weird argument.
Right.
Most people aren't using their cars as a weapon. Like, they're not. People aren't dying in their cars because they're intentionally killing each other with cars.
Exactly.
Right.
As opposed to what the statistic would be from the people dying from guns.
So. I think the hardest thing is just getting past that whole, like, we're not going to give an inch. Like, because that's why, like, all these insane measures won't be like, some of the simplest things, like, hey, we should, you know, require more background checks. We should require background checks at gun shows. Or we should require, you know, a little bit more screen. Just any sort of any reformation. And it's immediately like, yeah, because if we give an inch, that's going to open the floodgates. Which is not true. I mean, if you look at, when you look at any kind of contraception or those sorts of things, like, I feel like so much has been, like, inches, miles have been given for, like, yeah, you can regulate this. Yeah, I mean, abortion is constantly being regulated on various levels. I feel like...
Don't get me started on that. Not get me started on that.
Women's rights, we are constantly giving, like, more than an inch. And yet, none of that's been banned completely. Like, none of it's been completely... Like, people get worried that it will, but ultimately, there's not a real... there's not a real perceivable threat, as far as I can tell, that all of that's just going to go away anytime in the near future, or at least I doubt it'll happen before I become barren. So, I mean, I'm not terribly worried about
it. Well, they restrict it. They can restrict it pretty harshly.
They
can, you know, like maybe we'll get rid of it, but it's like, oh, if you don't catch it within the first, 3 weeks or something, and it's just like, well, that's usually how long it takes to find out.
Well, you heard what Ohio tried to do, right?
Yes, Casey.
Yeah. I think it was 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I think it was 6 weeks. But then the thing was that a woman could be tried and possibly put to death. And I'm just like, okay,
wait,
you're pro-life, but you're pro-killing a woman who...
Yep.
It's just so ass backwards. It's like, no, that's because the real issue isn't that you're pro-life. You just want to be able to tell women what to do with their bodies and, you know, when you can get rid of them.
Because believe me,
I listened to a podcast about the Equal Rights Act this week and like how like RBG and like her influence and all that stuff. That shit was nuts. Like, it was literally just like 40 years ago that they were like, yeah, women probably shouldn't be discriminated against. And I was like, holy shit, like, how is it that recent that they just decided women were equal citizens? You know what I mean?
The civil rights movement was in the 50s.
Right? And they want to act like all that stuff, like, doesn't have lingering repercussions and, you know, things that are happening now. People are like, no,
it happened way back in the 40s.
Yeah. Well, even like with, you know, slavery wasn't that long ago and people want to be like, oh, no, everyone's square now. Like, fuck you.
Have you watched any of Trevor Noah's specials?
I saw him. Oh, yeah. I saw him live. I need to watch more of his specials.
Oh,
there's one where they were interviewing these white comics from South Africa. And this one dude was so fucking obnoxious. But it was such a great illustration of how people and their superiority works. And he's just like, you know, they're still talking about apartheid like it was just yesterday. Bitch, it was. Okay.
Over there, especially.
You're over here talking about just get over it when your people literally came in and invaded and sequestered the people, shanty towns, like took them out of their own property. And now you're just like, I don't want to hear black comics talking about apartheid. Well, y'all shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
If you don't want people to talk about it. I mean, that's the easy way. I don't know. Maybe I'm too simple.
No, because it's not like you get rid of something like quote unquote legally and then, oh, everyone has a totally change of heart and change of mind. And you just, there's no stereotypes, there's no racism. That's not how it works.
Yep.
And half the time people are trying to get around the law anyway, so they can still dick around. So just like, fuck off.
I was trying to write a joke and I don't know because I don't. And again, you can write jokes about stuff that you don't necessarily believe in, but everybody talks about wanting to go back in time and kill baby Hitler, and that's a fine idea. But I want to go back in time further and, like, kill the founding fathers or at least have a sit-down. Like, I want to do the thing where it prevented all of the slavery and all of the, like, racial... Because the slavery is what inevitably led to all of our racial issues, right?
That was way before the founding
fathers. I gotta dispute you on that one. It wasn't because it was before slavery. It was before slavery. I mean, if you really want to go way, way, way back, the fact that humans evolved as a feudalistic culture, okay, and that we actually valued possession, we valued superiority. And so all of that stuff is growing out of stuff from like the 14th, 15th century with, you know, the whole lords and ladies and kings and kingdoms, all this kind of stuff. I mean, that's how society began. So, I mean, we really literally would have to go back to like cave people and be like, don't invent money.
Ugh.
Well, because then all of a sudden, you know, there's like all the colonization and basically it's if you have the upper hand and you're different from whatever culture you come across and you're like, oh, we're better. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, God, now the sense of superiority or, you know, because I studied abroad in Japan. And I probably talk about it all the time, but I took a lot of like Japanese history classes and it was so interesting, like what you don't learn about over here is that So when they, you know, Japan was on lockdown for a while and they didn't like talk to anybody, when they forced them to open their ports and Japan caught up to the West, if you will, like in like absolute record fashion, like it's never happened before. It'll probably never happen again that they can just like that a whole like country can just get on their level. But then they're like, but you're Asian, so you're still not as good. And that was the whole thing. Like, so all these people, this is the time they're colonizing, like, all along, the, like, China and everything. And Japan's like, oh, well, we want to do that, too. We're just as good as you. And they're like, no, thanks. And yeah, then,
trust me, this is, like, a compliment. This is not me being, like, that person. But like you look at these YouTube videos and they're so artistic and they're so creative and they come up with the most amazing things. And then they have these substances and I don't know how they figure out how to make these substances, but they make things that are like liquid that become solid and they're like magical and stuff. And I'm like, you guys are aliens. I was like, what y'all doing over there? I mean, you know, I was hypnotized enough with anime when I was a teenager. You know what I'm saying? And now you're like, have you seen this, it's a styling paste, right? But it has color in it. So it doesn't transfer. It doesn't make your hair hard. It completely coats. It's like hyperpigmented.
Yeah.
And you see these videos with people putting it in their hair and like, it looks like you have stripped and dyed your hair when you put the stuff on correctly. And I'm just kind of like, but see, y'all had time to figure that out. I mean, there's a whole lot of backstory to figuring that out. And, and then there's this other video that has me just like boggled. They're making all these like balloon sculptures and they're insane. I just, oh my gosh. I'm just like, Japanese people are way smarter than we give them.
Well, and what's really, really sad is that their population is like rapidly decreasing because they're not, no one's having kids.
But didn't they kind of legislate that? Or was that China?
That was China. But with Japan, what was happening, that they have like the kind of culture that Japan has. And I'm not saying that I am an authority on this at all, but for us, especially from what I learned while I was there is, So the way the culture is, a lot of times, like, women are still expected to be, like, housewives. And it's, like, housewives and the fact that, like, not only are you taking care of your kids, but, like, you're taking care of your husband like he's one of your kids. And women just don't want to do it anymore. They're like, they call them, like, they have a whole name, but they're called, like, call them parasites. Like, because they're like, what they're doing now, instead of getting married and having kids, they're like, or I could just live with my parents and spend all my money on designer shit and not have to take care of fucking anybody. So it's like a swinging to like the overcorrect.
Why do I feel like that parasite name is derivative of Paris Hilton?
Could be. I don't know. So
I'm just saying.
Came up with it probably. It's just a bunch of bullshit. It's like, oh yeah, so you have it so people have to give up their entire lives to cater to other people, and then they decide they don't want to do it, and it's like,
well, but let's look at America. Let's go back to the whole, you know, perfect storm of how we got here thing. So then we got to a point where everybody wanted an education, right? So everybody went to college. Now you have a bachelor's degree, and what does it mean?
Yeah,
6-digit debt. So you got people with bachelor's degrees that went back to their service job because now they have to pay those loans back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meanwhile,
and they want to give you a job with no experience.
Well, not only that, but we don't have any plumbers.
Yeah. Because they've been shunning
people.
They've been looking down on like those kind of
trades. Trades are like what is it called? Like the trade industry. Yeah, they're
still trades.
Yeah, they're I mean, they are. They're becoming rapidly extinct. Like people don't have like actual.
Because it's like, oh, what are you going to do? You could, you know, if you read books now, you will never have to clean up a toilet. It's like, or you could learn how plumbing works and you get a really sweet job with great benefits. Like,
but see, we have to know about cleaning toilets so we can justify not having the brown people come up from Mexico.
Yeah. So much bullshit.
Sorry.
Right. I was like,
sorry. There she goes again.
Hey, no, speaking of that, you said you're from Texas, right?
Yes. I'm really reluctant to claim, like, any part of the United States anymore. Like, every place has a thing, right? Yeah. But you know who I'm really glad I'm not from? Florida. Florida is cool.
Right? They're fucking crazy.
Every time you read a crazy headline, it's like, oh, it was in Florida.
Florida man. Yeah. Starts with Florida man.
Yesterday, Chad, do you guys remember Chad Ochocinco from the Bengals?
Yeah.
So he lived next door to Roger Stone. And he just, and he just tweets like, yo, my neighbor Roger just got arrested by the FBI and it's not even 8 a.m. And I was like, oh my God.
I'm going to have to find that tweet, though, because that shit's hilarious.
Fuck Roger Stone.
I'm like, what? Like, going for a run. Like, what the hell? What's going on?
Wait a minute. But you understand the portrait of progress that is for a black dude.
Right?
Down the street.
Makes it even better. Like,
in this old establishment white dude getting dragged off by the FBI, who were working for free, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I think they're kind of sick of it too. They're just like, you know, this was funny at first. This shit ain't.
I found that out from, I follow an account on Twitter called Florida Man, and that's how I found it out. Because he was like, normally this would be a crazy tweet. He's like, but given they both live in Florida, this makes perfect sense. Like, this is.
That's hilarious. Oh man, that's too good.
Well, that's it. Because when I moved to California, I was like, well, you know, it's warm there. And people were like, oh, if you want warm, just move to Florida. And I was like, no, why? No. There's alligators.
Go to some, like, ass backwards. Crazy.
Florida is the Australia of the United States.
That is a very good point.
Oh, God, it's insulting Australia.
The accents are just cute.
Yeah, it's true. So what part of Texas are you from?
Tyler, it's about 100 miles east of Dallas, so, like, kind of northeast, but it's not, like, panhandle. So if you are familiar with Interstate 20, it runs between Dallas and Shreveport. And Tyler's like smack dab between the two.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh.
Yeah. So, speaking of football.
No wonder you're like anti-football from Texas, man. They probably make it all out.
When I was in high school, my poor friend tried to explain to me a first down for like 3/4 of the game. I was like, just stop. Her boyfriend was on the football team. She's like, no, you're like,
I'm trying forever. I still don't care.
You want to know how nerdy I was? I lettered in prose interpretation and one-act play.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Because girls that do that don't get boyfriends. So
They're too smart. They don't need they know better.
But, yeah, it was just kind of like, yeah, we're just going to let you guys have your own jacket.
That's amazing. So. We actually got lettered in choir, and everyone thought that was hilarious. And I was like, look, man, that's the only thing I'm ever going to letter in is choir.
Right. You know what? Let me live my life. But what's funny is I still have my jacket. I can still wear it 30 years later.
Yay!
Hell yeah.
30-year reunion.
Nice.
Missed it.
Do you go to your reunions ever? Yeah.
Saving grace of living in Ohio. I'm a horrible person, but it's just like, man, I'm not going to be able to make it, you guys. I can Skype in, maybe.
I'll forget.
When did you come to Ohio from Texas?
I kind of didn't.
Oh.
Because I joined the Army right out of high school. So I traveled around with the military for a while. I met a guy from Ohio who is my now ex-husband.
Got it.
And so I left Texas in the summer of 88, which is after I graduated high school. Yeah, I know I'm older than you guys. And I moved to Ohio in 2001. So, like, I came off of active duty in 2001, and then, like, 3 months later, 9/11 happened.
Wow.
Jesus.
And so everybody's just like, oh, my God, aren't you freaking out? And I was just kind of like, I don't have to have a license to carry a gun when I'm in uniform.
Yeah, true.
And so I was saying to you guys, this is what, you know, they told us we trained for. I hate that it happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, if not me, then who? And, I served in the Guard for 14 years. I retired in 2015.
Okay.
So it's funny because I do a bit about how my male friends say that I might be intimidating. And I'm like, what? Just because I'm trained to kill and still get my cycle? Why would that be intimidating?
Because they couldn't handle being able to do both. That's why.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the best for everybody. I am a lot. And by a lot, it's really not. It's just by conservative 1950s Donna Reed standards.
Well, you know, in that case, we're all a lot.
Yeah, we're all a
lot. It's frustrating. It's just like, so let me get this straight. You know, a dude can tell me that I'm cute, but he really just doesn't have much interest past that because you're too smart for me. Well, that's not me problem. I mean, any of the good attributes that I have that are a detriment, that's not a me problem. You not wanting to step up is not a me problem. But see, then you say that to their face and all of a sudden you're a bitch. I mean,
No, that's the whole thing. You can't, you're a woman, you can't win.
No. And I find that it's, that is both true of dating and in comedy. Like the thing I have, I have the hardest time. People always mean to, I think they mean this as a compliment all the time. But I will constantly get someone coming up after me after a show, like if I bomb or I feel like it was really shitty, and they'll be like, you were too smart for that crowd. And I'm like, well, fuck, man. Like, I mean, I can't dumb it down. Like, this is just me.
Do not, Miss Pam, get me started on that one. The thing that like gets me is like, what I like to do, because, you know, I still do a lot of shows where people may or may not see my face on the poster or whatever. And a lot of times my headshots are me in makeup, and somehow me with eyeliner looks totally different than me without it. Don't know how.
No, because we're tricking the men folk with our makeup.
There's two black women in the room and nobody can figure out that I'm the one on the, okay.
Jesus.
But it's so funny because I'll just sit there and I'll just watch the male comics just rip into women, all this kind of stuff. And half the time I'm the headliner.
Ah!
So then I go up.
Hell
and
yeah.
I just like I did this show in, God, where was I? Where was it? Anyway, it was recent. It was very recent. I want to say it was Cincinnati. That's where it was Cincinnati, right? And so it was an open mic / showcase. So there were a few of us that were booked, but the rest were open micers, right? And this one dude reads his entire set off his phone, which I'm just kind of like, you know, when you're a newbie, I kind of whatevs, right? Yeah. But one of his punchlines was about how women don't think for themselves. I go up to do my set, right? And like half of the cats had left because you know how it is, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, so everybody, how about I just talk shit about all the comics who left? Anybody down for that? That's where we're at. First of all, we got a grown-ass man who's talking about going to the doctor and how he couldn't pee in a cup. Bitch, you got a spigot.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? How are you the one that has a problem mastering this? And then I also just need to send a shout out to the comic who said that women can't think for themselves while reading it from his phone.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, actually.
It's really
guarantee you're going to enjoy my set a little bit more than just a little
bit. So those guys had all left by the time you went up there?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, there were a lot of comics who stayed, and so I said props to the comics who stayed. And so that was kind of the thing, was like, that was my way of kind of like giving a treat to the ones who stayed, because it was just like, yeah, those are the dicks. I mean, I understand. There have been times that I have had to leave early, you know, yeah. I get it. But vast majority of time is just like, because like, you know, oh, well, I got work in the morning. Dude, I got to be at work at 4 a.m, 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm last. I mean, granted, I'm in a different place. It is what it is. But if you can't stay for a show that you're on to respect the other comics that are on it.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I generally leave early is if I've got another show immediately after. Like, I've had multiple shows, like, back to back. And I usually just tell the host up front, like, hey, sorry, I gotta go. Occasionally, I will leave. One problem I have is with shows, and I know Elizabeth and I run, help Spider Jones runs SX1. We try very hard not to have shows where there are more than like 8 people in the lineup. And if there's 8 people in the lineup, we try to limit everyone to between 8 and 10 minutes. And then if it's, you know, 5 people on the lineup or something like we do on our Sunday Showcase Couch Kegs, we'll usually do 10. And if you run the light like a minute or two, that's fine. Because ultimately then, if you can keep it down to a 90-minute thing, like, yeah, you should be able to stay if it's a 90-minute show. But then you end up getting like either open mics or showcases where somebody just lets everybody on and just lets them run light.
30 people on the list.
It's been 2.5 hours and I got to work tomorrow. And like at this point, I put in 2.5 hours of watching other people tell jokes. I think I've done my time, like, and then I leave. So I think those are.
And I mean, a lot of times too, it seems like with those big shows, there's people like filtering in and out anyway. So, you know, there's bodies to replace you.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like a showcase or something that you're booked on. That you should probably say.
One thing is that we as comics, since we've been performing and we're educated in the terminology now, is that we kind of expect our friends who aren't comics to get it. Because, I mean, I have, there's just so many little pet peeve things at this point. But, like, I have, you know, the people who are just like, well, what time do you go up? And it's just like,
do you understand
how disrespectful that is? Yes. I mean, come hang out, you know, we can hang out, but don't be, oh, I'm going to just be there for Leslie's 10 minutes. You know, that's not.
Furthermore, I have told people on infinite occasions, like, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know the lineup. If I'm not running the show, I don't know the lineup, first of all. Even if I knew the lineup, I can't promise that's the order that it's going to go in. Yeah. Furthermore, I can't promise that other people aren't going to run the light or that they're not going to jump off stage early and I'm going to end up having to get, like, up there way sooner than I thought. And ultimately what it comes down to is the people who ask me that the most, and they'll ask me multiple times, even though I always say I don't know, are the ones with kids. And there's, like, I have an internal struggle because it's, like, on one hand, like, I've told you a million times I don't know, but on the other hand, it's, like, you have kids and you're still making the effort to come see me, which I understand is hard. And, like, it's really hard for me to be, like, fuck you, you know what I mean? Like, So, for people who don't have kids, they just don't want to leave their house, they can go fuck themselves. Leslie Battle, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, no problem.
Hey, I wanted to see, this is probably going to air in early March. I don't know if you've got anything you want to promote around that time.
I'll be in Arkansas for a cool little show called Nasty Women.
Ooh, fun.
Ooh, that's all fun.
The best thing would be just plug my website. It's lesliebattlecomedy.com, all one word. And my shows page shows what I have coming up. I'm going to try to come out to LA this year. I say that with a question mark because, you know, I've been my own worst enemy as far as getting things together. But I'm just kind of feeling like this is the time. I'm 7 years in and I need to be making some moves. And it's the time. I mean, in spite of the political climate being what it is, people are wanting to hear women and they're wanting to hear POC. And I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, if you've got some half decent material, because a lot of club crowds are people my age who've been through stuff like I've been through, and you know, 20 something year old white dudes talking about their penises, they're just like, all right, that's great.
I love about comedy right now is it is in many ways, not completely, but it is in many ways what I like to say is like bizarro world, from the element that like people are much more interested in hearing us as women and you as a person of color. Like they are much more interested just because like, and I watch Crashing on HBO, and this last week's episode, there was a, the lead character was trying to get into the comedy cellar, and the booker, who was a woman, was like, look, I have 100,000 white dudes talking about nothing. Like, so if you as a white dudes actually have to work harder right now. They have to be way more about something.
Yeah, take a turn, take bitch. It.
Yeah, exactly. So I 100% agree with you.
One more thing, though. Did you see the thing about the comic out of Pittsburgh who turned down work?
Okay, you tell me your thoughts on this.
Okay, I know the guy,
okay.
Right? And so I'm, like, proud of him because I think that was definitely a step. But how come another comic who is a brother man go come on my page talking about this doesn't matter? Why would you do that? You just turning down money, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, see, bro, man, this is why we can't have shit.
Yep.
This is why we can't have shit, because you're going to come out and attack a dude. First of all, okay, fine. You want to go work for that? That's up to you. That's your call.
Yeah.
But for me, I feel that much more comfortable working with that individual because I know that he's not just, you know, talking the talk. And it just boggles my mind how many people are still tripping over themselves to be involved with people. I mean, R. Kelly.
Yeah.
People were still, you know, kissing Michael Jackson's ass. And it's just kind of like, you know, I don't want to hear all the after the fact, where were the parents, when you're just like, ooh, but I have a chance to work with this person. Why wouldn't I? All of these reasons. So I'm proud of him. I really, you know, I was just like, you know what, that's, I mean, you know, I get it, but it's kind of like, and you know, not to compare, but me to a lesser extent, not singing the national anthem anymore. Does anybody miss me singing the national anthem? Only the people who saw me do it, you know, but is a decision that I can live with, and that I'm just like, because I've had a couple people ask me, and I was like, I'm sorry, I don't do that
anymore.
Yeah. And they respect that. So it's just kind of like, you know, okay, well, that's, you know, that's my line in the sand.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate it, because that's the thing. It's just like, people are just like, well, first of all, the fact that we still need allies even now frustrates me to no end. Frustrates me to no end, because there are so many people who can't value me as another human being. I literally have to have a white guy say, but you know what? She's right. I mean, that.
Yep.
Why I'm single.
No.
All right.
Evidently, I need a white guy wingman to be like, you know, she's a great lay.
That's like the whole thing we were talking about before, that people were like, oh, you know, you need to have something bad happen to someone you love. And people are saying like, I believe in this because I have a wife and a daughter. And it's just like, or women are people. Like,
right.
Or
right.
You could just respect this as like, other right. people, like you're a person and I'm a person.
Yeah.
And you don't have to know a woman to think that they're human. Like, no, I saw one and she was just like, she could talk
in the wild. Like, oh my God. The minute I realized that I don't own my children's sexuality was quite possibly the most liberating moment of my life.
Yeah.
Because they want to have kids. Great. They don't want to have kids. Great. That is literally none of my business. And yet American culture makes an industry out of people pressuring their kids to have kids. I'm just like, that's problematic.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I totally,
so many things.
I totally agree. Elizabeth, do you have any social media that you want to promote?
I never remember my social media, you know.
That's right. We do this every week where you're just like, ah, probably I've got
it. I should probably look it up. I don't know.
Just don't Google Elizabeth Seaman, because that's...
Spell it the right way and maybe you'll get something. It's S-E-M-A-N.
Yes, that's her last name, S-E-M-A-N. So yeah. If you are going to Google Elizabeth Seaman, Google it spelling it the right way. Otherwise, you're probably going to end up with not the right thing.
Yeah, Spider definitely put it on an ad for Couch Gags that went on Facebook that spelled it S-E-M-E-N, and I was like,
I saw that. You were like, this is the bodily fluid, not my last name.
Yep. Way to give an autocorrect.
Couch Gags Sunday, March 17th at 7 p.m. We got to rebook Leslie back on that. We had to cancel the show because she was going to headline it, and then it snowed, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, it was icky. It was bad. I was like super nervous, and I'm like relatively comfortable driving in the snow, but
it was nasty.
If I'm not feeling
like parking lot would have been tricky. Yeah.
So head up to SX1 Entertainment on Instagram and Facebook. I want to thank OK Pants and Above Below Entertainment. Okay, love you. Bye.